prayer, and what we do in public is supposed to be an orientation. Guide our operations in secret concerning the responsibility to stand in the gap on the account of the menace that has befallen the earth at this time. Once again, I would like us to plead for the mercy of God, that God might show this continent His bountiful mercies, that He might unleash upon Africa great mercies, great salvation, great kindness, by stretching forth His hands, by bringing redemption to us. It is written that with Him there is mercy, with Him there is plenteous redemption. He has many ways to achieve redemption, many ways, plenteous redemption. He has many ways to do it. And so we want to pray and say, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, have mercy on the continent of Africa. Let Your good will be made manifest over this continent. Can we pray and beckon upon Him to intervene, to intervene, to intervene, to intervene. There seems to be an element of God's wrath that is also part of the affliction, especially in the Nigerian experience. There's an element of God's wrath. However, we are pleading on behalf of the common man on the streets that has no protection, that the government of his nation has failed. We are pleading on behalf of that man, and we are asking that God will show mercy. Let us pray that the Lord will show unto us as a continent His great mercies. Let His mercies be made manifest. Let His mercies be made manifest as we call upon Him, that He might bring redemption to us. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. I so many breskivo santolia nebroskote mehezaita cumbrescapa suma ebracopetani malatosco prescavatomi na caprescabalatomi nazalia ande bobose che presceto compresaviso zominata amprecopazuma ne mose bregede babonge eco bresco velato Bibloco posoto brenzo minata ico pranta daboria melacumbre safolasi kembros catebia catoske. And we plead yet the blood on the continent. We plead yet the blood. Milacumbre zico basico talimosa ita campresco valata mebro copetami zico brasketo mondoria brahasatali. Endolo mosaclo pronde sketos gizozela mantalimata mombre ketaziko mandeli braisco precatalo zobria cambazala babaria. We plead Your blood on the continent of Africa, using Africa as a point of contact to reach out to the nations of the world, that redemption might come to us. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Once again, we'll commit the entire continent of Africa into Your hands, and we plead the blood over the continent. Let that which makes for destruction, let that which makes for injury, let that which makes for death let it be overruled by reason of the blood in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll take a reading from verse number 10. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Diverse kinds of tongues. It's not tongues and interpretation, but diverse kinds of tongues. To another diverse kinds of tongues. Now, I would like to define what is meant by diverse kinds of tongues by taking a reference from the scripture. So you can flip just one page in addition, and then to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then we'll have an idea of diverse kinds of tongues. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. There are two kinds of tongues mentioned here. The first is the tongues of men, and then the second is the tongue of angels. That means the tongue of angels is not known to men, it's unknown to men. So this gift can actually be administered in any of the contexts. It can be a manifestation of a tongue that men know, but you are speaking that tongue by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's actually a gift that is unleashed primarily to undo the limitation of the language barrier, and also to correct the disorder that found expression at the site of the Tower of Babel. This is God's reversal of that order of limitation that bedeviled the project at Babel. Now, so in the gift of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, someone is given the supernatural utterance to be able to speak in a language he has not known. And this language can be in a human tongue or in a tongue that is not known to man. Meanwhile, the thing about the delivery is that the inspiration to speak such a tongue fluently, the inspiration to speak such a tongue fluently is given unto the recipient, and he flows in this tongue. And there are two possible kinds of utterance that he can be given. He can be given utterance in the tongues of men. He can also be given an utterance in a tongue that is unknown to men, which is, he can also be given an utterance that is the communication language of even the angelic horde. Before we go into talking about this gift with more detail, it will be needful for us to analyze the nature of tongues, because if tongues plus interpretation of tongues equal prophecy, then why did the Holy Spirit not just limit such deliverables to the gift of prophecy? Why did he introduce tongue, then an interpretation of the same tongue, in order for it to become equal to prophecy? Why use that route when in prophecy there is a delivery of the mind of God, and you need to do two things to achieve one thing when that one thing is existing? The reason is because there is a nature that tongues sustains. There is a nature. So we want to look at the nature of tongues, then to give us insight into the gift of diverse kinds of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, from verse 1 and 2. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. We are talking about the nature of tongues. The nature of tongues. Before we go into the gift of diverse kinds of tongues, we need to understand the nature of tongues. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. You see, when we were doing the lecture on prophecy yesterday, there was something that we were able to establish, that there were two levels of prophecy. We have the basic level of prophecy, and then we have the advanced level of prophecy. And we said that the advanced level of prophecy had to do with issues of mysteries, had to do with issues of knowledge. And that was a tributary that was associated with the office of the prophet. The thing about tongues is this. There is no simple gift of tongues. If someone begins to flow on tongue level with a hope that he will interpret, it is advanced. Because when you switch to tongues, you are already operating in the layer of mystery. Exactly? Now, prophecy has the basic one, and in the basic gift of prophecy, no mystery issues are touched upon. It has the advanced one. It's the advanced manifestation of prophecy that is associated with mystery issues. But in the nature of tongues, the Bible says that in the spirit, any man that speaks in tongues is uttering mystery. So if God uses the agency of diverse kinds of tongues, one thing is sure. There must be an unveiling of mystery. You can't speak in diverse tongues and you spoke in tongues and then the interpretation of that tongue is that I am with you. No, no. That's not a mystery. If you are flowing on that frequency, we are expecting that what will come out of that deliverable, when interpreted accurately, must amount to what? A mystery. What exactly is a mystery? Because we are already not seeing what I'm seeing in the parliament here. We are not seeing it. Now, you know the Bible says eyes have not seen, it says ears have not heard, neither has it occurred into the heart of man. That's the definition of a mystery. Something that eyes have not seen, something that ears have not heard, and something that has by no means occurred to the heart of man. It is outside the scope of your intelligence, it's outside the scope of the organs of your education. Totally outside of that scope. Meanwhile, there's existence beyond your knowledge. There are possibilities beyond your consciousness. All right? So if we are talking about things that eyes have not seen, things that ears have not heard, things that have not occurred to the heart of man, we are dealing with the realm of mystery. So I am saying that by nature of tongues alone, by the nature of tongues, if because tongues deals with the realm of mystery, if someone is operating in the gift of diverse tongues, we are expecting that if that thing that the person is saying in that strange language, which we may not know, will, when interpreted, amount to what? The mystery. That's the first one. Going by the nature of tongues. Meanwhile, second thing about the nature of tongues. If we check still in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, there is something here. The nature of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 5. Verse 4. First, let's start from verse 4. Before we move to 5. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now the advantage or the superiority of prophecy over and above speaking in the normal prayer language is that the scope of edification is what pedestals prophecy over and above him that speaketh in tongues. Because the goal of the inspirational gifts is the edification of the church. And what makes prophecy superior to speaking in tongues is the scope of edification. And we see that if I speak in diverse tongues and there is nobody to interpret it, we are down on the scale of edification. So when that tongue is interpreted, the goal is achieved. And in verse 5, the Bible says, I would that ye will speak. I would that all will speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except ye interpret. The reason for this level of classification in terms of stature in this scripture is the principle of edification. So it is placed on the scale of edification. And that's why the gift of diverse kinds of tongues will not reach its terminus when it's just uttered. It has an accompaniment that increases the scope and the scale of edification, which is the interpretation of that tongue. We are still talking about the nature of tongues. The nature of tongues. We must know that the goal is edification. So if I just speak in diverse tongues and we do not have someone to interpret it, we have missed the goal, because we'll be down on the scale of edification. The objective of the manifestation of the inspirational gifts is the edification. And if we do not have the twin arm of that manifestation to bring about a deciphering of the utterance, will be down on edification, and the goal of that gift will be defeated. Number 3 is still on the subject of the nature of tongues, still in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as we move down the nature of tongues, before we now dwell on the gift itself, the nature of tongues. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22 is my emphasis, but I want to start from verse 21. In the law it is written, when men of other tongues and other lips will, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Next verse. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not for them that believe, but for them that believe not. The nature of tongues. Tongues are for a sign to the unbeliever. It is prophecy that this is a sign to a believer. And I'm going to explain that before we begin to talk deeply on the gift of diverse kind of tongues. Prophecy is a sign to the believer. It's a proof that God is in the midst of his people. According to the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, the Bible says, 18 verse 20 I believe, it said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And one of the evidences of God's presence in the midst of a corporate house, in the midst of a congregation, is when his words can be given utterance, when his words can be given free expression in that corporate community. So one of the evidences that God is with us is a great sign to us. It's a proof that God is on ground, is when there is prophecy. Prophecy is a sign to us of the presence of God. And tongues is a sign that something supernatural, because we must understand what a sign is. What is a sign? Tongues is a sign. Because I remember those days I was praying in the hostel in the university. And then someone that was passing by trying to mock us now attempted to be saying what I was saying, and he could not. Then he himself agreed that what I was saying it by some supernatural influence. It was a sign to him that there was something supernatural that was at work. Are you following? Because we normally like praying in the hostel, and the way our hostel was constructed was such that you could not be doing something that is a little bit vocal, that the people in the next room will not hear what you're saying. So they try to mimic, and then after about 5 minutes, they were out of utterance. They were totally out of utterance. And I think that prayer session lasted for like 3 hours, and it was all tongues, just tongues. And it was clear to my unbelieving neighbors that what was responsible for the utterance that I was speaking was not naturally sourced. Tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. But I want to take you a step further. Hallelujah. Because I want to trash the issue of diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation in one sweep. Alright? So, can we do something in... That word sign is from a word in Greek. S-A-Y-M-I-O-N. Seimon. Tongues are for Seimon, a sign. What is a sign? Seimon. Sign. What's the meaning of a sign? A sign points to something. A sign, like a signboard, does not point to itself. A sign points to something else. For tongues, for instance, the meaning of what is said is not in how it is said. there is something deeper than what was said that is the meaning of what is being said. So, tongues point to something. Tongues point to a deeper meaning. It points to a deeper emphasis. It is a mere sign that is pointing to a deeper emphasis. And the deeper emphasis that is pointing to is what the interpretation now brings to the fore. Are you still with me? Alright. So, let us take a scripture quickly. Then I'll be able to explain tongues and interpretation probably in one sweep. Remember, tongues can be in the gift of diverse tongues can be in human language. It can also be in angelic language. It can be in an unknown language. However, it is supernaturally granted utterance that is a function of a deep inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is not something that you were able to articulate by training or something you were capable of by some form of discipline. It's a function of being overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. All right. So let us do Acts chapter 2 from verse 6 and I'll be able to explain a little further. Acts chapter 2 verse 6. And the Bible says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. You see, tongues can be in the language of men. So in a situation where I begin to speak in Igede language, which obviously you know that I don't understand, and I don't speak Igede, and I begin to speak Igede language because I've spoken Hausa before and I don't understand Hausa language. I don't speak Hausa language, but I was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and I spoke fluent Hausa. I think that's the last time I ever saw that manifestation. And if it is in the language, are you with me? You are not with me. If it's in the language of men, you don't need to interpret it supernaturally. It is interpreted naturally because someone that speaks that language, if the person is there, the person can see what I say, the meaning of what I say. Because what I say in tongues is a sign pointing to something that is deeper, that means deeper than the utterance. Alright? So there is need to recover the meaning. Are you there? So if it's in Igede language, Godwin can now stand up and say, well, this man just spoke my language and this is what he said. That's the interpretation came naturally because it was his language I spoke. In a situation where I speak a language that is alien to the congregation I was addressing, then there will be need for a supernatural interpretation. If you study the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 very well, you will find out that every sound, according to Paul, every sound has significance. So, the meaning of what Paul said, okay, maybe I need to read it so that you will be able to follow me adequately. Alright. He said, for if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? That 1 Corinthians 14 verse 8. So likewise, ye, except ye utter by tongue words easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in this world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto them that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Are you with me? Now, so there are many things, many voices, but if each one of them is with not without signification. The gift of interpretation of tongues, as we will touch it briefly, is a strange gift. Because according to Paul, so many voices, in fact, an instrument has a voice. So if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, we will not know what the trumpet is saying. It means that there is a sound that a trumpet can produce. And people that have been trained to understand the sounds of trumpets will know what it is saying. What Paul was trying to bring into view was that it is actually possible for somebody to play an instrument and you will interpret it. Because that sound has signification. I was in a meeting one day, and somebody was playing a trumpet. I was preaching, and I asked the man on the trumpet to play. And when he began to play, I could hear what he was playing, and I was interpreting it. Alright? I interpreted. Was anybody here in that meeting? Okay, yeah. Pastor Francis was in that meeting. The gift of interpretation of tongues is you interpret beyond human utterance. There is somebody can be beating a drum, and when the thing switches on, you can actually interpret it, especially if the person is beating that drum by the help of the Holy Ghost. It follows a rhythm, and the Spirit of God uses that opportunity to disclose what is being spoken, because every voice has its significance. Now, so the experiment that found expression on the day of Pentecost, these guys were not only filled with the Holy Ghost and received the prayer language, they began to operate in the gift of diverse tongues. Yes, and that is a counter like us to. Meanwhile, since I interpreted that trumpet, I've never interpreted. To show you that it's not. Since that day that you saw me, I've never. It's not. It's not something you plan to do. But that day I was understanding what the trumpet was saying, and I was interpreting it. It was the gift of interpreting of tongues. The tongues you are interpreting may not even be somebody's utterance. It can be an instrument. It is vast. Okay? Yes, we're doing everything. Where did it stop? Therefore, let's go back to Acts of the Apostles so that we can read the experience on the day of Pentecost. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So it was a tongue of men. Alright? Go on. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They know them. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then a catalogue of the languages was displayed, the Parthians and the Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes. Now that means people spoke Chinese that day, Mongolia, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible talks about Asia and even Egyptian language and Crete and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I wanted to click on that word works, because I wanted to know the scope of their communication. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. Megalia. That works, megalia. I try to find what exactly does works, wonderful works, the scope or the subject of the utterance. Because in every language where the interpretation of what they spoke came, it was megalia. You know, I told you that if we go the way of tongues, then it means we are touching the realm of mystery. Yes? And I just want to establish, yes, the wonderful works of God. Yes, go on. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? You know, I told you that tongues are a sign to the unbeliever. Because this manifestation has confirmed to the unbeliever that it is supernatural. The next question is now is what? What does it mean? It is not the meaning of the tongues, because they got the meaning of the tongues because they spoke their native tongue. But what they were asking was the meaning of this activity in prophecy, since they were sons of the prophets, and there was nothing, what a mundane man would call a record has been broken. A man, a son of the prophet, will call a prophecy has been fulfilled. So, in this environment, in this climate, in this culture, when a strange thing happens, they want to know if it lines up with prophecy. Because nothing happens within that piece of real estate called Israel that is not likely something that was captured by the prophets before that time. So they wanted to understand the prophetic relevance of this strange occurrence that was happening, which superseded the scope of their civilization at that time, and they wanted to know what it means. Because if these kind of things happen, it is a sign. Hallelujah. It is a sign. So when we are delving into the realm of diverse kinds of tongues, we are delving into the realm of mystery. That's the difference. There is no simple gift of diverse kind of tongues. When you go that way, he says he speaketh mysteries. The interpretation should sum up to a mystery. And we said it yesterday, that a mystery can be something that happened that you never knew about, or something that is yet to happen. It is something that eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, and that has not occurred into the heart of man. Hallelujah. The interpretation of tongues. We have thrashed that issue side by side so that I can move to the power arena, the power gifts. First of all, we need to talk about the nature of power before we begin to talk about the power gifts. We'll talk about the nature of power. Then we'll talk about the power gifts. But before I do the switch, before I do the transition, I would like, just in case anyone has a question from our online company, I want to take one question before I proceed to talk about the nature of power. Why does God give power? What's the meaning of power in the unseen realm, in the invisible realm? What's the meaning of power? We need to know the meaning of power. We need to know what God uses power for and why God gives power. Because somebody that did not know the meaning of power was willing to offer money so that he can receive such power. And when he placed his hands upon somebody, let them receive the Holy Ghost. You see, he didn't understand the meaning of power, and he didn't know why God gave power. There are several people in ministry that are very powerful, but yet they don't know why God gave the power, and their use of it was largely in the context of abuse. Most people you know, see someone that has the power gifts and they revere him. And so many people are challenged to want to desire such stuff. But I find out that most people don't know the reason why God gives power. Yes? Any question from the online congregation? No question. All right. One question, you can write it out. Why does God give power? Why does God make men powerful? Hallelujah. At least we know the reason for satanic power. People desire satanic power so that they can control people, they can dominate people, they can manipulate people. You will hear, Reverend Afonso said, someone killed somebody supernaturally. And when the people were mourning, he came out and said, "Well, for your information, I am responsible for this death." And he walks away. And everybody is afraid of him. So there are people that want demonic power because of that kind of advertisement. We are the ones that can do everything, anything, and nobody can do anything to us. That might be a lust that is responsible for somebody's hunger for power in the kingdom of darkness. Those days when I was still working in Abuja, there was a place called Wuse, and one evening so many people were gathered, and I was wondering why they were gathered, so I passed by to see what was going on. It was one guy, he had a cobra somewhere, and he was playing with the cobra, was giving instructions to the cobra, and the cobra was obeying him, and you could see that he had supernatural power. The devil can put his power on display when there is no obvious reason for the manifestation of that power. But in God does not use power for show. The Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given unto every man to profit withal. Anytime the power of God goes to work, there is a profit that God intends to get from the manifestation of that power. This guy was just doing his snake thing, and then he will blow a flute, and then the snake will be tamed. It was a sight. Even hungry people were there. They forgot their hunger, and they were, you know, gazing at the spectacle that he was making available. The devil have, that's what he does. He likes to show that he has power, so that you will know he has power. But God doesn't show power. God's manifestation of power is released consistent with a purpose that he wants to achieve. So we don't show power. But meanwhile, someone that is carnal might want you to know that he is anointed. So because the anointing is available, then he wants you to know, so he is willing to, you know. Meanwhile, as you grow in the anointing, there is a level of control of that anointing that God gives you. He gives you the handle. So you can actually do some demonstrations at some points. And many people that are immature in the use of power, they fall prey to this kind of stuff because self is involved. And when self is involved, it means that God is robbed of his glory. And it's, power is a dangerous preoccupation. And so if we, it's obvious that in our callings, there is an allocation of power that God has made available. It is necessary for us to be very careful to ensure that we are not in a show. Yes, let me have my question before we do the shift to the power gifts. Just one question, not... All right. Okay. Is it possible for someone to be successful in ministry without a gift? That question is not related to the subject of the evening. You cannot do ministry without a gift. It's not even possible. You can't serve God without a gift. You can't even be a Christian without a gift. How much more then that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, reigning life? You are operating, as a Christian, you're operating on what we call the economy of gifts. You can't be a Christian without a gift. The righteousness that you operate in, that you have been exploiting, is a gift. And as you grow in God, there are many more gifts that God gives you so that you can do the works of God. So you cannot succeed in ministry without a gift. Meanwhile, I'm confused about what you mean by succeed. That word is not in the it's used, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. Because someone can actually, if what you mean success is the mundane paraphernalia, having a car, having a big congregation, speaking, there are many people that have lost their calling that still have all this stuff. So be careful when you use this kind of word, succeed, because the meaning of that word from the true context is to fulfill purpose, to fulfill purpose. And success is the fulfillment of purpose, the fulfillment of purpose. And that fulfillment of purpose varies from one person to another person. Fulfillment of purpose for a lady, for instance, might mean that she should not marry and she should be single and labor as a celibate in intercession all the days of her life. And you might look at her from the eyes of the evaluation system of this age and call her wretched. Meanwhile, she's fulfilling purpose. So this word success is, we should use it sparingly. The Lord will help. Olumide, use this word sparingly. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Can one operate in three inspirational gifts? Yes, in fact, it is expected that throughout your lifetime you should be able to operate in all the nine gifts of the Spirit. All. It's an expectation. Because there is nothing wrong with the measure of the Spirit that you receive. And this, what God does is that He makes you become a tool that can become anything He wants you to be part time. Yes, there are gifts that I'm more fluent in, I'm more functional in. There are some gifts that if I begin to minister, it will be very difficult for me not to touch on those gifts. Now, those gifts have they have a direct implication on my calling. Like I said, I have the gift of interpretation of tongues, but I've not used it up to 10 times. It has not been used up to 10 times. I can count the number of times I interpreted tongues. Right? But the gift of word of knowledge, I dwell with it. So I've operated in some gifts before, but the operation is not frequent. And in my own opinion, I believe that anybody that is consistent with God should be able to have operated in the nine gifts of the Spirit in his lifetime. Some you operate more, but you operate all. So, but the gifts that are directly related to your calling, those gifts are going to be more frequent, and you are likely to be stronger and more proficient in the administration of those gifts. So there is no limitation whatsoever in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, the purpose of this teaching, and on Sunday we are going to do an impartation of gifts, because part of my calling is to impart spiritual gifts. It's part of my calling. It's a complement of the office that I operate in. Someone that is an apostle by calling is supposed to have the stature to be able to impart gifts. So the purpose of the conference is for us to, just in case they have not seen a gift, no problem. But by Sunday, we are going to do impartation. And a few will come upon your life. But we encourage that ultimately that you will be able to operate nine gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit of the Lord so wills. Understanding power. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. This is talking about Jesus. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now this is Jesus speaking. And hallelujah. This, at this time, he had ascended the this designation of the Christ. So the reason for which God gave him all power, the Father gave him all power, is so that he can operate the office that he has been assigned to. Now, God does not give power outside of a designation. The level of power that is at work in your life is consistent with your designation. There is a level of power that is available at the disposal of every believer. At the believer level, there is a level of power that is at work at that level. And if you want to operate on the believer level, that's the measure that is going to be operational in your life. Meanwhile, I hope you still remember the scripture that Reverend Alfonso used yesterday. He said, God is able to do immeasurably, abundantly above that which we can ask or think, but is consistent with the power that is at work within you. Now, there is a power, there's a power availability that is at work on the believer level. If all you are is that you are a believer in Jesus, there is a designation of power that operates at that level. Then if in your service to Jesus, more realities about your ordinations is revealed to you, you are going to be ushered into higher levels of power, which is consistent with the designation that you have been assigned unto. So Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. It is after he had made that known that he now gave us a great commission. Go ye therefore. It means that the one sending us is Jesus, and what is at his disposal is all power, even the power that galvanizes heaven. The power that is on earth is available at his disposal, and is the one that sends us. It means that it is his office that is responsible for the allocation of measures of power in that sending that he is releasing us to accomplish his purpose in that sending. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you are going to see the platform for power. The platform for power. They say, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The platform for power is the platform of the witness. A believer that is desperately willing to use his life as an example of the fact that everything that Jesus came to achieve upon the face of the earth is authentic. He wants his life to become that proof, that evidence that the work of Jesus is authentic. That, meanwhile, witness in that context is a register that is used in the court of law, not witness in terms of evangelism, but witness in terms of a court session. And what Acts 1 verse 8 is saying is that Jesus is in the dock in our generation. People don't believe in him. People are questioning his authenticity. And part of the things that will validate his claims as Savior, as Lord, as God, as Prince, as King, part of the things that will validate that claim is your life. So he gives you power so that your life will become a proof of every claim that Jesus made about himself. If Jesus says he has received all power, your life is supposed to reflect power. Power that people cannot deny, and is a proof that indeed Jesus has all power, because I'm a servant of Jesus, and this is the measure of power that flows from my life. Hallelujah. This is the measure of power.
So we, according to the book of Acts, are supposed to be those functionaries that have come to validate the works of Jesus, validate the reason for which Jesus came, validate everything that Jesus said about his life. Your life becomes an evidence that those things are real, and the only way you can become such an evidence is if you have access to power. 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 There is no way our generation will accept Jesus, will believe Jesus, without power. And it is because of this designation as witnesses that God makes a deliberate allocation of power available to us. Because power in the kingdom of God is an ingredient that it is locked on purpose. There is purpose, there is profit, there is an agenda. The devil may have power to show, but God doesn't have power to show. Every iota of the manifestation of the power of God is locked on a purpose. Jesus is in the dock. When you see the rainbow people marching naked on the streets, what they are saying is, we don't believe in Jesus. When you see the occultic man in his temple using blood that was fetched from newborn babies that were slaughtered, it is because they are saying, we are the God around here. We control stuff around here. He doesn't believe that there is a power that is the ultimate power, because there was no witness. There was no witness present. And if you begin to desire power for the real purpose of power, God will give you power. When there was a minister that came to preach in our church in the village, and while he was preaching from the altar, and he gave a word of knowledge that there was somebody in the congregation that was deaf on one ear, that God had sent him to open that ear. And the brother, who was not even born again, had no sense of hearing on his left ear. And while this preacher was saying that God had sent him to open that ear, as he gave the word, the ear popped open. It popped open so much so that this brother couldn't believe that he could hear with that ear, and began to question himself. You see, something. The witness of Jesus was born by this preacher. And the reason why he became indebted to God was because he didn't even want to come for the service. It was somebody that said, oh, it's a great, and you are doing nothing. So he just, all right, just to please the people. And then he got his deaf ear healed. And for him, the argument ended. Jesus was king from that day henceforth. There are many quarters. As long as there's still a rainbow man still on this earth, it means that our witness is insufficient. As long as there's still an occult man on this earth doing business with human blood to attract demons, to take advantage of territories and to monitor destinies, as long as people still consider that level of commitment relevant, it means that our witness is insufficient. As long as there is somebody that is still available for Satan to use, is an indication of the fact that our witness, our testimony about Jesus, it has been short-lived, has not penetrated adequately. And that is the reason for which God is willing to give power, so that we can become witnesses unto him. Oh, I remember a young lad that went and joined the occult, and they told him that he would in the occult. Meanwhile, I need to tell you the reason for the occult. The occult, they exist just to create avenues, portals for demonic entrances into the territories. And the reason why, and the way they do it, is that they break the commandments of God. If God says, thou shalt not kill, they will kill. And when they do that, there is a demonic energy that comes into the territory where the word of God, the counsel of God, the laws of God are broken perpetually. There is a demonic energy. In fact, sometimes the spirits that they serve give them a number of people that if you can kill 250 people, then you can manipulate the elections in your city, and you can put an agent of the devil on the throne, and then they go out on rampage. They go out on terrible rampage, and you begin to hear of deaths, of stillbirths, of all kinds of stuff. They are trying to meet the mark. They are trying so hard to meet the mark. As long as people like that are still active, then it means that our witness is shortly. The reason for the ministry of intercession, most of the times, the assignment of the intercessor is territorial. And when God begins to lay a burden upon your heart, many times it may not even have something to do with you directly. There is an activity within your space that is a violation of the policies of heaven, and God may want you to swing into action. You have more power manifests without your notice than the one that manifests that you are aware of. And then suddenly, they hit 90, they hit 100, they hit 130, 135, they hit 140, they hit 190, they hit 200, and then now it's just 50 down the road, and they hit 1, they hit 2, they hit 3, then the intercessor now begins to rise. He doesn't know why he's praying 12 midnight. Aika kaloka, ima katekula, but they hit 221, 222, and then it's impossible to kill 223. It's impossible to raise the bar, increase the scales, because power was introduced. And then he begins to wonder, who is wielding the kind of power that has the audacity to resist him? Even unto him to witness has been born, that there is a dimension that is superior to that which he has seen and known. And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So this young boy joined the occult, and they gave him a task. And the task was that in 14 days he should go and sleep with his mother. Came back and tried to hawk on her, but he couldn't get himself to do it. He was not that wicked. You know, I've told you before that the stature of demons are measured with respect to their propensity for wickedness. He didn't have it in him. He has not been cooked. There are some that they were trained from when they were small. And if it's about killing, they kill without even turning back. Wickedness is growing. It's growing. It's growing so deep, so deep. As long as such men are still around, then we need power. We need power. We need power. Because there is a designation. You have the designation of a witness, and you are going to come to court, the court of our generation, because human beings are judges, and they want to look upon the evidence that you bring. Because of that, we need power. The occult man could not kill beyond 222. He tried to kill the next one, and he was off. He used all the tricks. He went back to the shrine. The spirit came and gave him more counsel, what he needs to do and how to unleash the greatest power of the deep. And for that, he had to go naked. He went naked. He went naked, and he began to conjure. He said it would be more effective if the moon is full. He waited for the full moon, and he began to conjure. He could see light coming out of the moon. Light! There were evidences that he secured the power. But when he came to the field to continue the massacre, he could not go beyond 222. Then wisdom came to him. It means the thing that is resisting me is stronger than the instrument I am using. The time has come for everyone that is devoted to the devil to come face to face in frontal collision with agents that are carriers of his power. I want you to understand the message, the need for power, so that you can ask. Because we need power. We are going to be talkatives. We are going to be analysts. We are going to be newscasters. Without power, can we pray? And the Lord. This vessel will not go on without power. The kind of power that will shut down every activity of the devil in the vicinity when I show up. If you have a good reason to ask for power, God will respond to you. That kind of power, that kind of power, that kind of manifestation is what we are asking God about. That God will stretch forth His hands and give unto us power. Can we ask Him? And for those of you online, we are out of time. We are out of time as a generation. And the kingdom of darkness has sworn that these are the days where we see the bitterness of the altar of the devil. And so if you can swing into action and say, I'll be that witness. That witness that will stop the deaths in my family. I will be that witness that will stop the manipulation of destinies in my family. I will be that agent through which light will spring forth in the midst of the darkness. I want to be that functionary through whose voice a compelling power that cannot be resisted will find expression that will break the backbone of the enemy. I want to be that functionary. I want to be that man. I want to be that lady. Capizo Selima Cambres Pufatama Lampo Rekesike Bresco Pelamo Sila Branta Baboria Anio Selomons Gebris Kofetame. And ye shall receive power. Maiko seminabra, kambo seko skebre ketami, jemina ita kompreska basaba latami, embreketomi nasi. Jesus is in need of witnesses. Oh my God, he's in the dock right now. There's so much controversy about his identity. There is a need for a man of power to show up on the scene so that the generation can understand that his claims are true, that he can save, that he can heal, that he can deliver, that he can set free from bondage. Will your own life be that vessel? Be that vessel that will change the sequence, the tide of how a generation views Jesus. Lambro seketendo si masala baboria, akampre skupe la minala baboskete mensezele, la tabrasketo menabranta baboko borokoseli, ai kompari abasa la tabranta baboto kotoko bosonto. La sose la branta basa minala, ikamena monomonomonomo santo. Yela mama mama ikane no 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 bosatura ayelo lo sena na na yeka kelamu sina proskovo somi na salama buria senine kebra bobo sika bata labros kampera momo selia brata babo ante kesina. Ayena mose la mama ya koraba iska brasto pale jamina te kompera mama ma jebroske to minaska litala jaka brenton kombolo kolia jamina kaila tata bantala babora jamina brasko brina nana mamata ayita baba bousengatela. Jamina sabeda kaska komina la, ekaye kore na nama.
Ya Bobo Santoria Blaska Balata Iskabas Bobela Minasaila Mor Akelo Momorima Santa Baboria Shamina Kaila Blaska Tala Amamelo Momo Momo Soso Salida Aberabo Sabres Bobregadela Saminata Amamaraba Seko Planta Baboria Jacob Preskovela Minatatalia Amena Saila Mamatala Babo Aimana Babo Seketela Plata Babo Ababarata Plantana Babore Balata Yekekerina Nania Tadala Baboreba Ela Yekomena Saila Babo Preskovela Akababolia 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 Santa Babori Baskanda, Eka Bababolo, Shamina Kaila Braskata Brada Babo, Ababalata Branda Babole Balata. Shamina Branda Babore, Aleto Compresca Beso Beratamba, Akabalata Branda Babola Basanda. Abres from Menabesa Mena Planta Babo La 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 Semina Taila Planta Babolata Secundele Babo Santa Ikabalaba Santa Planta Baboria Abendolobos Conga Ikabalaba Sovena Katia Planta Babolata Mama 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 Rascata Rada Babo, Lama Santa Rada Babore Bala, Shabatana Babore, Shabatana Babore, Shabatana Rada Babola Tala, Akabala Tabada Babo, Akabala Santa Rada Babore, Endoromo Somena Rada Babore Bala Tala, Apreskobe Lama Santa, Akabala Tabata Babore, Maya Consalela.
Now the Lord says we should focus and pray one more time with the emphasis of our families. That the hand of God will enter into our families this night. If we pray, He will respond that His hand might enter. And if there's anything that is not of Him, any spirit that has been brought into that family that is responsible for the trends, the patterns, debts, resistance, hindrances, manipulations. Can you ask Him, stretch your hand into my family space and vandalize every property, vandalize that space and rid it of the influence of any power of darkness that is operating in that arena. Ime kokolia lembo sekila kumba usketa menebre eskete bubosi kambres kofatama hiko balatala Labrasaka mento komononokotea Ambresko velamila Braska tata dengos kambale Jame momokoto Ikopre vavatiskon tame That the hand of God might be stretched for. Are there people in that family That their case, it's difficult for them to turn to salvation? Can you raise it before God right now? Is there a trend that is ungodly? A trend that is ungodly. You can insist.
You can insist right now that the hand of God will be made manifest on those issues. You can insist. You can insist. You can insist. You can insist. You can insist right now. You can insist that the hand of God, that the hand of God, you can insist. Oh my God.
Rigada yada, rekoto koto koto. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The same hand by which the Israelites were plucked out of the bondage of Egypt, the same hand by which the activities of demons in their various magnitude were molested and humbled by Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, we ask that that same hand will invade our families. We ask that that same hand will invade our homes. We ask that that same hand will invade our marriages. That your very ordination, your very purpose, your very plan will be established to its original factory settings. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father. Let's give the Lord some praise tonight. Thank you, Father. Please, let's cast our seed as we attempt to round up. Thank you, Father. It is offering time, and you are invited to participate in it if you are so inclined. Tomorrow again by 3 p.m. West African time, we'll be back to this channel for same transmission. We are very, very optimistic that your life will never remain the same. At the end of it all, we are going to all become different men and women. And thank you for tuning in. See you again tomorrow by 3 p.m. West African time. If you have not subscribed, please go down straight to the YouTube channel.
We're still making calls for people that it has been laid in their hearts to be active parts of the apostolic community, to reach out to number. There's a number there on the dialogue box indicating interest to be part of the community. And secondly, for those of us that are already in the community, there is a form that you are supposed to fill that will give us an idea of the commitments you are willing to make for us to carry out the administrative aspects of the initiative, and which is to spread revival in every part of this world. The forms are on the WhatsApp platform, so please, you will do well to fill up the form so that we can have an effective database. All the information on the forms are critical, so that if by any means we are coming to your nation to do an event, we'll be able to, you know, inform everybody that is in our database that is in that nation. And there are several responsibilities those of you in that nation that we are visiting will need to carry out collectively to make it easy for us to reach that place. We need a very fast, functional community to do God's business in this season. God bless you.
Amen. And for those of you that are having difficulty with the issue of the offering, any question you have at all, any form of hiccup that you are experiencing, contact the online pastor, Pastor Philip B. He will put you through with any information that you need to skate through any hurdle. Contact the online pastor.
the details. His details are there on the platform. You can use that detail to connect him and get all your issues resolved. Thank you. See you tomorrow by 3 p.m. West African time. And until then, good night and take care.
You are higher than the highest.